Hello and welcome to the George 1.2.3.571 podcast. I'm here today in the studio with
Laura,
and we want to talk about boredom. And I want to kind of, first of all, I'll define boredom, and I think the main definition that is kind of standard out there is that boredom is something that it is when an when an individual finds no interest in what they're doing. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, I think we all have.
Yeah, and how do you cope with that? When it sets in, and you, as in it might take a while, it might be instant to you, but when you understand that you're in a bored context, how do you cope with that?
Try and get out of a bored context, usually by changing activity.
What happens in the event that you can't change an activity? So let's say that we're going to situate you on a train platform, okay?
Yeah.
There's 20 minutes to go, there's no one about.
Yeah.
What do you do? You've got no... Okay, what do you do? You're bored.
I suppose, depending, you could think about, personally, I'd say I could do that. I could set a 20 minutes at a dart session.
Why do you think people be bored? Hmm. Why do you think people can get bored in that situation?
Because I'd say the state of being kind of idle there in the train station is so unengaging to them. They might like feel like they have things to do.
So it's the loss of are you saying it's the loss of productivity that is making them want to be doing something?
I wouldn't say it's a loss, maybe the loss of activity, like the loss of doing something. Actively, whereas you're not really, no one really actively waits for things, if you know what I mean. Obviously they're actively waiting for the train to come, but there's no point in, like, that's not helping them along their journey. That's the actual train journey would help them, and it's not helping them at their job or what they're doing at their destination or even at where they are now.
And this is a collective thing that happens across to many, many people, is that they will find themselves in a situation that they would themselves deem as uninteresting to them, unstimulating. They're doing an activity that they don't enjoy. It can be in a short-term version of the 20 minutes at the dart station, or it could be, say, it could be on the context of years at your job that you don't enjoy. What would be the major differences in the time scale of boredom?
I think time scale is linked very strongly with boredom, because with time comes familiarity, and with familiarity comes then the boredom. If something's not, say, enjoyed, it will be much more likely to become boring. So if something is enjoyed, it can become boring too, but if something, as in, no one's like, oh, I'd love to be waiting at the dart right now. But you will hear people say, like, I'd like to be at my job right now, even if their job isn't the most entertaining or fun thing to do.
Do you think that there's always a development, that there most likely would always be a development pattern, that something that, say, in hindsight, you know it's going to go on for a long time? So, for example, there are particular points in your life where you engage in an activity that takes a long period of time to do. And those activities could be college, the career, the marriage. Do you think that there's ever a thought process before or near the start of it where you do ask yourself, what happens if this gets boring? How do I get out of this? And there becomes almost a fear of boredom. Do people fear boredom in the context of a long time? Or do you think that people usually just don't give time to think about that, or just don't think about the kind of the future idea of an activity that's going to run for a long time and where they could see themselves being getting bored in that such an activity?
I don't think most people won't think, oh, this is going to get boring in the future.
Is it because they aren't aware of that, or they aren't realistic that it could happen, or is it just something that doesn't cross their mind?
I'd say partly it's something that probably doesn't cross their mind. I'd say often, I mean, certain things, say college, if that gets say, boring to people, that might necessarily be something that makes them leave, or it might just be something they deal with, they see as more of a bit of a hindrance, but nothing too detrimental. Like, I think boredom can almost have degrees that way. Whereas, say, a middle-aged man might find his job he's doing for the last 15 years just so mundane that he has to leave.
So would you say that what an important factor of understanding intensity of boredom within individuals would be the duration of time that an experience has been viewed or you know?
I think, like, things that, when we think of boredom, we think of idleness and the mundane, and I think both of them things kind of, especially the mundane, from the familiar. I mean, you go to a foreign country and on holidays, and you take a train journey, you probably won't be listening to music or on your phone. You might be on your phone a bit nowadays, but you're gonna be engaged with everything that's around you. Because even in a bus journey or a train journey, there's stuff going by the window, there's people speaking, you're in this new environment. Now say you move there to work, 5 years later, you're taking the same train journey, you're going to be trying to engage yourself with something different.
Would you say there's always then kind of a human kind of idea to keep on moving, to see something new, you're bored, you're fed up, and it really is just repetitive nature?
Yeah.
Isn't interesting or stimulating?
Well, I think,
should we all then theoretically be moving about the place all the time? We should be nomadic?
No, because it's not necessarily negative. Like, boredom is not an ideal thing, but it's not necessarily like it's more of a neutral state. It's not necessarily a negative. Like, I was reading a scientific journal recently and mentioned that ADHD has evolved in humans because it was very good to be able to do many small tasks in short periods of time in, like, a less evolved man, because it let them be more, like, adaptive and work in their environments better, always doing different things. And obviously, back in that time, boredom didn't exist, so there was no reason for, like, and that's obviously, that's hasn't left us, that's still inhuman. So I think the idea of, say, people kind of being alone with their thoughts for hours on end probably came much later on in human evolution, maybe with the Greeks or in the Renaissance times, when just
think, thought and philosophy came. Another way you'd have got a lot of boredom is when there's a certain level of society so that things can be done, and then there's the certain people who are considered privileged enough not to have to do those things because they're being served on hand and foot, and they must have experienced, you would have thought that they must have experienced boredom because they weren't doing anything. As in, it could be like people come out of retirement and now they've got nothing to do.
Yeah.
Because they've experienced years of very scheduled time. You went to work 5 days a week, you had your weekends off, you had your time after your work. But now that you're in retirement, a lot of people suffer huge boredom where they don't know what to do, or they have to then learn how to fill in time again. And so I think what you see there is, you mentioned that it had a kind of neutral stance, but at the same time you would have to argue that there would be a positive stance to it and a negative stance, and sometimes the negative stance is where you can't really cope with the boredom.
Yeah,
it becomes too much. And then the positive stance is that it, for some people, they might use that time in the form of meditation or some reflective thinking, and it, but again, it's been, I don't know, is that a real form of boredom because they are using it for something? Is it, would a bored experience have to be where nothing is being done?
I don't know. I don't think that has to be boring, and I don't think boredom is necessarily that. See, I think boredom kind of comes from long-term idleness or long-term lack of activity, in a way, and I mean, like, that it's not a, it's going back to the other thing, like, it's just not in the human... Humans don't, in their evolution, don't want to be idle for long. And I'd be by long periods of time, I'm talking about, like, hours. Or even, like an hour. So that's avoided. So people are constantly kind of doing things. Now, when certain things become, I think the problem comes when certain activities become idle, if you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. say, someone filling out forms, that task eventually becomes idleness for somebody. And so it becomes boring. Once that becomes mundane, it becomes mm-hmm. boring.
To sum up, if you had to define boring in a little bit more detail than just an activity that doesn't engage the individual, what words would you add on to that?
Something that doesn't engage the individual.
Would you want to add anything in relation to time or various other people or activities or anything like that?
I think boredom, you have to... I think you know when you're bored. You know, you think, you can think in your head, I'm bored right now. And unless you have that thought, then you're probably not bored.
So it only becomes then a self-realization. You're only bored
that's
when...
That's very important. Yeah.
You become bored when you undergo that self-realization, yeah. I am bored.
And I think, yeah, and I think that's self-realization, because so if there's no self-realization, then you're not bored.
Mm. And I like that. I like that self-reflective pause almost.
Yeah.
That's very good, because that tells you then it's something that's in the moment.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to put on, because I remember I was saying, we were talking before, and we had mentioned that you can be at the train station waiting your 20 minutes, and it might have taken you about 10 minutes before you realise you're bored.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult then to, I think if you're to use that then as a measure of when it begins, you're safe and understand where it begins. But as in, if you, it's difficult to understand purely where does it start.
Yeah.
You know exactly where it ends because you change your activity or do the best you can to alter or to create an interest in whatever is happening. But if you don't have that boredom, most certainly it's very easy for it to occur.
Yeah, and I think also it gets to the point where it's almost a reaction to an environment. So say waiting at the bus stop, first time you wait at the bus stop ever, you might not be boring, but say you wait out of 20 minutes, then 10 minutes in, you're boring. Next time you go there, 5 minutes in, you might be boring, until you find that any time you're at the bus stop, you instantly become bored, just because of that environment.
That's good. I would conclude then in saying that it is boredom most certainly has to be looked at in terms of the space, and there needs to be spatial awareness of interactions with the space and space to the to the individual. And you also have to really look at what is the time scale that the individual is faced with. And that's by looking at the time scale, then we really understand where we can pinpoint an individual's boredom.
Yeah.
And where it ends. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.